Evening, church. I'm really excited to know what the Lord has for us tonight. And just like what I've been saying to Pastor Ping and the rest, that I've never been so nervous like this night. I got to preach in different churches in the country, but I've never been so nervous as tonight because my family is with me. So please pray for them. And I've been praying for them, actually. I went to the altar this morning and prayed that the Lord will work in not only in each and everyone's life, but in my family as well. So, I believe this is an answer to our prayers. And we'll just mind the Lord tonight. First of all, I just want to ask for your continuous prayers and thank you for those that probably got to meet me last year and got my card and remembered me in your prayers. And I really appreciate that. I believe that when we pray, God is working. God is doing the supernatural behind the scene that sometimes we don't even see. And I just want to thank this church for remembering me. And I got to see familiar faces tonight or this morning. And it has been so good and refreshing to see each and every one of us. And I just want to ask and covet for your prayers as I finish school. I have 5 more months left to finish everything at the same time, to do deputation. So this is really challenging to do 2 things in the same time. You have requirements here, requirements there, and you have to finish this. You need to pass this test. And then on the other side, there's a need of going back to the Philippines and getting your needs ready. So, but I believe God is a God of grace. And as Apostle Paul said, that his grace is always going to be sufficient for you and me. So I just need your prayers, and I just need your just remember us. Remember the Philippines in your prayers, because the Lord is working greatly in the souls and the harvest there in the country. So open your Bibles, please, in the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 3. 1 Chronicles chapter 3. And I would like to take you in the last 2 verses of 1 Chronicles 3, and that is verses 23 and 24. 1 Chronicles chapter 3, 23 and 24. And 1 Chronicles is in the Old Testament if you're still looking for it. And it is one of the few first books over there in the Old Testament. It is after this book of 2 Kings. And if you found it, please stand and join me as we give reverence to the Word of God in 1 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. The Bible says, "And the sons of Neariah, Eliyoenai, and Hezekiah, and Azrikam 3. And the sons of Eliyoenai were Hodiah, and Eliashib, and Peliah, and Akub, and Johanan, and Deliah, and Anani 7. Let's give thanks to the Word of God. Let's pray, Lord. I believe that every jot and every tittle from your Word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, God, that help us to fully see, Lord, what your plan for us this year is. Lord, I pray that you just hide me behind this pulpit. Lord, I am not worthy. Lord, I am limited. Lord, but we recognize tonight that you are the source, you are the wisdom, you are power. And I pray, God, that you just meet the needs of each and every heart tonight. I pray, God, that you just don't let us leave this place without the blessings that we could find and that you have in store for us, dear God. And I pray, Lord, that you that help us to be careful to give you all the glory and honor and praise. Lord, I just want to ask for a special need as I pray for my family. Thank you for allowing them to be with me tonight. And I pray, God, that you work with liberty in their hearts. And Lord, may they just see you tonight. And I pray for the rest of us listening to your word. Lord, help us, Lord, to look forward in what you have prepared in your table. Thank you very much, dear God. Thank you for your love, and thank you for your grace. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We may be seated. Thank you very much for standing up with me. When I point you to that verse, I was looking at your faces. And some are just like, Are we really going to be looking at this scripture? Because all of these are just a bunch of names. I'm going to repeat these names. Nehemiah, Eliyahu, and Hezekiah, and Azrakam. Names that you wouldn't even bother to touch and name after your child or anything like that. Who wants to name their child Akum? Or who wants to name their child Anani? So these are like, in fact, if you are going to look at the first nine chapters of First Chronicles, we could find a bunch of names. We could find a bunch of the bunch of their families and ancestries and different kind of things. But I believe that God has these names with a purpose. And for a purpose. I believe these names were written for us to prove that the Lord that we are serving and the Bible that we are reading and studying is a Bible that is worth believing. It is accurate. It is sure. And it has names that is recorded accurately, knowing that an encouragement for us that the Word of God is true and worth and is reliable. Not only that, it is an encouragement to me personally that God knows your name tonight. We may be going through tough times in life. We may be going through hardships. We may be going through storms in life. But I just want to let you know that God knows your name. And the Bible is saying that we should rejoice because our names were even written in the book of life. God cares for you tonight. God knows who you are. God knows exactly what you are doing. God knows exactly in which state spiritually you are tonight. And I believe that God cares and loves you, that He wants to pick you up when you're down, and He wants to work in our lives. But tonight, I just want you to look in just one name that we have read in this passage. And that is the name Eliyahu. And we are just going to be talking about and studying about that name. And my prayer is that we could just carry what this name means for the rest of the year, as we prove that God is a God of miracles, as we prove that all things are possible with God. Amen. As we prove this year that God will be with us, I hope and I pray tonight that we are going to be Eliyahu. Can you say it? Eliyahu. You can do better than that. Okay, let's ask this side. Can you say Eliyahu? This side.
Eliyahu.
In the balcony.
Eliyahu.
Okay, now you remember the name. It's a hard name, especially. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong. And I don't know how to pronounce it the best or according to the Bible, but let's dwell with Eliyahu. What does Eliyahu mean? Let's have some clues in order for us to know the meaning of Eliyahu. Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord, disobeyed, and fell because they forgot to Eliyahu. Cain has committed the first murder in the Bible, being envious of their sacrifices, with the sacrifice of his brother Abel, and killed him because he forgot to Eliyahu. I'm talking about Bible stories here. The 10 spies, remember the 10 spies in the Promised Land? Reported an evil report and said, "Those are giants. We cannot go in the Promised Land." And they weren't able to go to the Promised Land because they forgot to Eliyahu. Korah, it is in the time of Moses, one of his leaders, Korah forgot to Eliyahu and ended up being swallowed by the ground as the judgment come, simply because he forgot to Eliyahu. David committed sin because he forgot to Elionai. Jonah went the other way when he was commanded to go to Nineveh because he forgot to Elionai. With let's go to the New Testament. Peter sank when he was trying to walk on the water because he forgot to Elionai. The same Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ thrice. Not only once, twice, but thrice because he forgot to Elionai. People, Christians nowadays are forgetting to live for the Lord because they forget to let him know. Preachers quit, missionaries stop, and we are not experiencing the greatest blessings of God because Christians nowadays are forgetting to what? To Elionai. What does Elionai mean? We need to Elionai. Elionai simply means to turn our eyes upon the mighty Jehovah. That is our message tonight. That we may be going through hardships. We may have all the things, all the reasons. We may be tempted to quit and to stop in this race called life. But I just want to say, church, tonight, that we don't need to stop. We need to turn our eyes upon Jesus. We need to turn our eyes upon that mighty God that He can do and He can deliver us from everything. Right. We may have all these issues in life. We may have health condition. We may have all these financial distresses. We may have all these turmoils in our work, in our relationships. But I want to say, church tonight, we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus. And let's go to that same passage, the same thought in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I just want to say, church, why do we need, and our message tonight is, why do we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus? We have this year ahead of us. We have 2016 with us now. We have days and after the days that is ahead of us, and we don't know what to do. It is still blurry in our sight right now. But turn our eyes upon Jesus as we go through this year. Why do we need to look upon Him? And we're going to look at that passage, looking into Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Why do we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus? Why do we need to Elionai? Quickly, number one, because the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. First of all, I just want to say we need to turn our eyes upon Him because of who He is. Because of His person. Isn't that a good thought that Jesus Christ is the bread of life? Come on, He loves bread. So it's good when you're hungry. But you know what? Jesus Christ tonight is offering us satisfaction in Him. Because He is the bread of life. He is the living water that Jesus Christ can give you eternal refreshment. Isn't that a good thought that Jesus Christ tonight is the great provider? He will take care of us as we go through this life. He is our great shepherd. He is the deliverer in the time of Exodus. The Bible says He is the creator. He is the heir of all things. He is the faithful God. He is the powerful God. He is the song in David's heart. He is the wisdom of Solomon. In the minor prophets, He is the coming Messiah. He is the I Ams of the New Testament. And when we go to Revelation, the Bible says He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. The same as what Hebrews is saying, that He is the author and finisher of our faith. When we talk about faith, we talk about things that are seen, although they are invisible. When we talk about faith, these are believing things that is incredible and achieving things which are impossible. When we simply talk about faith, we talk about the power of God, the miracles of God, the greatness and the glory of God. And what is the Bible saying about Jesus Christ? He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I just want to simply say this. We need to look upon Jesus tonight because of simply who he is. Because Jesus Christ is the only need and the greatest need that we have. Jesus Christ is everything. Everything that we could ever wish for. We may try to look for the meaning of life outside Jesus Christ. We'll try to find the meaning of life in going out with friends and going to places and enjoying the material things of this life. But I tell you, friends, I want to say that we can find true satisfaction. We can find true joy, true peace without the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the best thing in this life. He is the greatest thing that could ever happen in you. I remember the story of Bartimaeus when he finally saw. He saw the face of God for the very first time. The first thing he saw was the face of Jesus. He may go when he get to see and go to the desert and look at the golden sands. He may go to his parents and say, I can see now. But the Bible says in Mark that Bartimaeus just followed Jesus in the way because he understood that Jesus Christ is the best thing in this life that we could ever have. And we can move forward and we can continue in this race called life if we simply look on who Jesus is. And as he promised, he will be with us. And when he is with us, he will take care of us. And Jesus Christ is taking care of us. The Bible, David is saying, I shall not want. I don't need anything in this life anymore, because when I have Jesus, I have everything. But I want to say, my friends, when you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. Why do we need to look upon him tonight and the rest of the year and the rest of our lives? Because of his person. Not only that, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Secondly, because of what he did. Because of his, let me use this term, because of his performance. The word for perform means to accomplish a task, to finish something. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ finish for you and me? He finished his own race of going into this world as a young and as a baby, incarnated with all that power in that small flesh, and went to this earth and died for you and me and finished his own race so that we could have salvation. Tonight, I just want to say to you that we have hardships in life. We get discouraged. We get disappointed. We get distrust. But I want to say that we need to simply, Elio and I, look upon Jesus, on what he has done for you and me. Remember how he finished his own race and didn't even complain. How we finish this race ahead of him, knowing that it's not going to be easy. But he loves you and me so much that when he was on the cross, that we were on his mind. We're on our own races now. We are running. We are running, and sometimes we get stumped. We stumble and we get tired and we get dehydrated and say, Lord, I don't want to continue. But just consider this. Look unto Jesus and what he has done for you and me. What he has done, what he has finished, and what he has accomplished for us to be saved. I just want to say that Jesus Christ has done his best. The question is, this 2016, are you going to do your best for him? Jesus Christ has died for you and given his life for you and me. Are you going to be giving your life for him? Jesus Christ has denied all this pain and agony. He denied himself. Are you going to deny yourself this year and say, God, I'm going to follow you? And just consider that looking into Jesus, and as we look into Jesus, we need to look simply on what he has accomplished for you and me. Thirdly, move for the joy that was set before you in Hebrews 12:2. Because of why he did it. Because of his pleasure. Move for that joy that was set before him. It's over there. When he was on the cross, I can remember this song. I was on his mind. Isn't that a great thought? When Jesus Christ is dying, he's not thinking of himself going down on that cross. He was there thinking of you. Thinking of me. He knows that 2,000 years after, there will be somebody with the name of, what's your name, buddy? Zick. There will be a boy, a baby that will be named Zick, and he will grow up, and he will know the Lord Jesus Christ. He will be stubborn sometimes. He's not perfect. Are you perfect, Zick? No. Just like me. We are, and sometimes people are just, doesn't want to go to church because they think that church is just for perfect people. No, we are a bunch of imperfections going together, gathered because of the grace of God. He knows that 2,000 years ago that I'm going to be born, and I'm going to be as stubborn as I am. I'm going to be imperfect. I'm going to be weak. I'm going to fall many times. I will fail. Sometimes I will say things that will hurt the Lord. Sometimes I will do things that will hurt him. He knows through the eyes of eternity that we are imperfect. But you know what, church? Tonight, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he knows that everything will be going on. He knows that in the Middle East there will be a terrorist group called ISIS that will kill Christians. But you know what? He said, I'm going to die for the whole mankind anyway because I love them all. Isn't that a good thought that it is the Lord's pleasure for you tonight to know him? It is the Lord's pleasure for you, no matter how imperfect you are, no matter how weak you are, no matter how you fail the Lord many times, no matter how you blaspheme God in your words and your actions and everything, that God still loves you and he cares for you and he wants you to know him tonight. And he loves you enough that he died for you and me. When he was on the cross, why he did it, his pleasure. And lastly, why do we need to look upon Jesus? Because of where he is. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why do we need to look upon Jesus? Lastly, because of where he is. His position. Not only his person, his performance, his pleasure, but his position. The Bible says he was on the throne. He's still on the throne. We may not think that he's still on the throne at times when we were in our own ways. But you know what, church? God is still on the throne. God is still in the throne to prove to us that everything is done. And the plan of salvation is done for you and me. We don't have to add anything for it. We don't have to subtract anything for it. It's complete. All we need to have tonight is the faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you and me. And believe on who he is, that he is God and he can save you. It is complete. And he's sitting there at the right hand of the throne of God to show to us that everything is done. As what he did in the creation. But secondly, God is sitting there to intercede for us. To pray for us. When there are times that we are stumbling and falling and trying to say, God, I don't want to continue. Jesus Christ is there. And by the way, he's in the finish line of this race called life, waiting to tell you, well done. He's not only interceding, but he is serving as our advocate. Whenever the devil is trying to accuse us and say, don't answer him when he prays, the Lord Jesus Christ will stand up and say, answer me, Father, because I have given him the access through me. I have forgiven his sins, and the righteousness that he has right now is my righteousness, therefore our prayers can be answered. But lastly, I just want to say that God is sitting there as a sign of his authority for everything in this universe, in this world. I want to say tonight that looking unto Jesus is always going to be worth it, because he is still in the throne. He is still on the throne. Many people are not bowing on the Lord Jesus Christ because they don't have an awareness that he is still on the throne. But you know what, church? One day there will be a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and every one of us will say, whether we believe the Lord Jesus Christ here in this realm or not, we are going to be saying one day that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he has been there on the throne ever since. And I just want to say that the Lord that we are serving tonight is in control. Whatever your situation is. Tonight I just want to end with this. Eliu and I. Just look upon Jesus. This year, as Pastor said, is not going to be easy. It's going to be full of challenges. It's going to be a transition year for me, going back to the Philippines from a student going there to start a church. But I just want to Eliu and I look upon Jesus, because he has a promise for you and me. Tonight, may it be in our hearts on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He finished his own race, and we don't have any excuse to finish ours, because he's been through ours. And I want to say that he did it all for us. For us. And it was his joy. It was his pleasure. And I want to tell you tonight, let's keep on looking. Let's keep on serving the Lord, because Jesus Christ is the best that could ever happen in your life.
Amen.
If you don't know him as your personal Savior, if you don't have a knowledge, you don't have to know everything about the Bible. All you need to know tonight is the Lord loves you, he cares for you, and he wants to pick you up no matter what and where you are. He wants to change you. He wants to, like what he did in my life, he wants to work in your life, and he wants to bless you. Are you willing to look upon Jesus? That's my glory. I have done my part.